Lauren Devine didn't panic when St. Paul residents found a few dead puffins on the beach in mid-October.
The first day was a tufted puffin, the next day was a horned puffin. I didn't think too much about it.
Devine is co-director of St. Paul's Ecosystem Conservation Office. She says within the week, it became clear something was wrong, as islanders found more and more carcasses. They posted photos on Facebook and called the eco office concerned. Devine took the first dead birds to Anchorage for research, while her co-director hopped on a four-wheeler and hit the beaches to gauge the extent of the problem.
She called me up and said, you know, I followed up on these citizen reports of puffins, and they're everywhere. There's dead puffins everywhere.
The carcasses came ashore in waves, dozens at a time. They washed up so fast, most were still intact days later, a sign there were so many scavenging foxes couldn't keep up. Devine says the extent of the die-off was frightening. St. Paul residents began patrolling the beaches daily, and the eco office had 10 dead puffins necropsied.
After we opened up the first five, it was very apparent that all of them were emaciated. Their muscles were completely atrophied. They had empty stomachs. They had gastrointestinal bleeding, which really indicates severe, long-term starvation. So they were just in very, very poor shape.
The theory, Devine says, is that the puffins left the island and headed south to winter in the Bering Sea as usual. But when they couldn't find food, they grew weak, starved, and were carried back to St. Paul by ocean currents.
So we started digging into this more and thinking, well, you know, what is happening? Where is their food?
To answer those questions, the Eco Office enlisted help from the Coastal Observation and Seabird Survey Team, based at the University of Washington. COAST is a citizen science program that has 800 volunteers collecting data on seabirds, from Northern California all the way to Kotzebue and Cape Lisburn. Julia Parrish is executive director of the program. She says all that local data helps piece together the big picture, unfolding across the North Pacific Ocean, as well as the Bering and Chukchi Seas. Right now, the major force at work is a big patch of warm water called the blob. Parrish says it's affecting the entire marine ecosystem.
Suddenly, the grocery store is full of new things and less good things to eat.
The changes begin at the bottom of the food chain with plankton and forage fish, the kind of fish that make up a puffin's diet. Those small fish try to adjust to the warmth, swimming to different areas or diving deeper in search of cool water. For the puffins on St. Paul, that's meant widespread starvation. In fact, Parrish says the 300 birds found dead may represent just 10% of the total die-off, when you account for carcasses that are probably blowing past the small island.
That would mean those 300 birds scale up to 3,000 birds. And 3,000 birds is half of the breeding population of the Pribilof Island.
The people of St. Paul don't harvest puffins for subsistence, but Parrish says seabirds are good indicators of overall ecosystem health. That means this die-off could be a sign of trouble for all sorts of species that residents rely on to fill their freezers.
Can these populations sustain this kind of long-term change pressure? Boy, that's a great question, and I wish I knew the answer to that. I can tell you, I think it's going to be stressful for them for a while.
Back in St. Paul, Lauren Devine says it looks like the puffin die-off is slowing down, but the Eco Office is also seeing signs of stress in other species. She says the island's seabirds laid barely any eggs this season. Hunters had a hard time finding sea lions, and crab quotas were cut sharply after a survey showed low numbers.
It is all interrelated, from the smallest harmful algal blooms and phytoplankton issues to whale die-offs, loss of sea ice. It's absolutely all connected, and I think that we're so far past the point of needing some kind of conservation and management actions before it's too late, you know, to give the ecosystem a fighting chance.
But even for scientists, it's hard to know what to do. As Parrish says, you can't legislate water temperature. So for now, that leaves the people of St. Paul to pick up dead birds from their beaches as they monitor the changing ocean that surrounds them. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Laura Craigle in Unalaska.